Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour. Excuse me, back on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg. Opening segment of our show, as it is every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Man, had some of that brisket last week. Delicious. Check them out. Great place to take your family for dinner. Great place to cater your next event. Dickey's Barbecue. Really appreciate Justin and all the guys for their support of our show. And, of course, Southern Miss Athletics. Noah Frary going to be joining us a little later in the show. He's a very prominent play-by-play voice. Also a sports journalist that keeps a really close eye on the Sun Belt Conference. And we're going to be talking to him about the status of the Sun Belt as the conference play opens this week. And also just general news about college athletics. But first, we want to catch up with our good buddy Luke Johnson. I think he's on the road today, but comes on the show every Tuesday to analyze stuff for us. And Luke, let's talk about the game first before we get to all of the aftermath of the game. But a really bad performance by the Golden Eagles, and I know as a guy that played in the black and gold, probably difficult to watch a game like that played.
Yeah, just being frank, guys, I quit watching it. I mean, that's how bad it was. I hung in there, and after the early turnovers, you're down 14-0, and John White comes in and leads us down and scores, and okay, and then it just turned into a turnover fest, and you can't turn the ball over, especially going in to score. I thought White got some valuable experience out there. But they were carving us up on defense, and whether that's alignment, being out of place, I mean, they just had their way with us. And I turned it off. I hate to say that. I'm almost embarrassed to say that, but I'll be honest with that just because it was not Southern Miss football. Now, a lot of people compared it to the South Alabama game last year. I think it was probably a worse loss than the South Alabama game. A lot of people don't realize that, how many defensive starters we were out that game, and other than Armandus Cooley and Michael Caraway, defensively, we had everybody. Offensively, it sure hurt not to have Ethan Crawford. Tay Rodemaker's banged up, I get that. We had all hands on deck for the most part, from what I know and what seems has been reported, and so that's why it was just really hard to swallow watching it Saturday.
What about effort, Luke? What was your observation about the team's effort throughout the four quarters?
I can't speak. I wasn't in a jersey. I wasn't on the sideline. I don't want to make a judgment call on that. But when you come out of the locker room, you're down 2 touchdowns, and you don't score in the second half, and you give up 23 points in the third quarter, just observing it, that just tells you that, you gave up, and I'm saying that's an observation. Again, I don't know what it is, but I've said it before. I feel like it just seems as if some of our guys aren't very tough mentally. On the road, it's a 7-7 game without the first two turnovers. So you turn the ball over, you dug yourself a hole. You're still only down 2 scores going into half. Make something happen, Be tough. Fight back. And that's what's so disappointing, is that you get shut out in the second half, and you give up 23 points in the third quarter, and just seems that we didn't adjust. I mean, they were a step ahead of us on every phase, and that's what's extremely frustrating to watch.
Luke, if you were to ask any Southern Miss fan, what is currently the most frustrating thing that you're dealing with during this football season, you'll get a myriad of different answers. What is at the top of your frustration laundry list? What is upsetting you the most at this point?
I feel like we're more talented, and yet we've been, seemingly less competitive. I do think, if you look at how we've recruited and what we've done, it's just not getting done, on the field. And it seems as if maybe in the second half we don't also adjust well. Seems like people adjust better to us than what we adjust to. And so probably those two things. But as a player, somebody has to take the leadership in that locker room. Give you an example. There was a time where we were, 500, and Rod Davis got in front of us, and he was our leader, and, of course, everybody knew Rod Davis. And he had a mirror in his hand, just a handheld little mirror. And there was a players-only meeting. And Rod just walked around and said, "Hey, guys, I thought the problem was with y'all. The problem's with me." And what he was saying was effectively, in order for him to lead as he ought to lead, he had to get himself fixed. And I'm sure he had double-digit tackles in most of those games leading up to that. But every guy on that roster, no matter whether he's a starter or a backup, you got to take out a mirror and you got to look at yourself and you got to say, this isn't cutting it, and I've got to do my role to get it right, to at least be competitive. And so, whether that's a coaching aspect or a player aspect, somebody's got to take ownership. Somebody's got to take leadership. That's at any level, with any team, with any sport. That may be the most maddening thing about it, is that and I'm not throwing a college kid under the bus. I would just simply say this team needs leaders, and somebody on that roster can lead. You're talking to a punter who was a team captain. So it doesn't matter really your role. I was voted a team captain by my teammates. So it doesn't matter necessarily what your role is. People will especially on the players, they'll fly to leadership. And so this is a team that needs leaders to step forward.
Well, now we know why Lauren said yes to him. I didn't realize he was the team captain. That's why she agreed to marry him.
Well, soon we'll have to call him Dr. Luke Johnson.
Yeah, are we going to really have to call you Dr. Johnson? Come on, we're your buddies, man. Come on.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't the only one. There was five of us. But, and my senior year was the time where, we had Katrina. And I feel like, I don't want to make this about me or whatever. All I'm simply saying is you've got to have guys step up and be leaders. You got eight games left. Some of them, this is the last time they'll ever wear a college football jersey. They'll ever wear a competitive athletic jersey. And there comes a point where you're playing for personal pride and you've been through a off season with these guys and you play for each other. I mean, that's what you have to do. And it takes accountability inside the locker room to be able to pull that off.
Luke, I know it's a little different era. I don't know how big social media was when you were on the team, but boy, there's just been a nuclear explosion of criticism on social media. And I wondered last night, looking at some of it, I'm curious to get your thoughts. Is that helpful, harmful, or is that something you think the players and coaches just completely block out?
No, I mean, people, you see it. It's kind of impossible not to see it. And, I mean, who are we fooling? It's going to happen whether or not, People have the right to express themselves. And, generally speaking, you want more passion out of a fan base than less passion. Now, you don't want dumb passion, But
we don't have any of that.
You do want passion. And so it's going to happen. And so you can't criticize people for speaking their mind. I mean,
right.
We're in America.
Yeah. Luke, can I interrupt you just a second? One of the fans had told me, and I thought this was a really poignant thought. He said his concern going forward is that now the goal for the football program is merely to be competitive and not to win. And he thought that was a dangerous step to take. Is that where you think we are now, and your thoughts on his thought?
Well, you can't win without being competitive. So if you're not being competitive, you have to take a step towards being competitive. And when you're and when you start being competitive, you're going to win. So yeah, the ceiling cannot be competition. I think I feel like that's what that person is saying, and I totally agree with that.
Okay.
The ceiling is you have to win.
Right.
But I would say this. I mean, I think people are mad. I mean, and I think people have a right to be irritated. It does. You know, it always was a little perplexing to me that, you know, at 20 years old, I could control somebody's mindset and attitude for 4 months based off whether or not I shanked a football or not. At the same time, I think people's, you know, frustration is more with the product that's being put on the field every week. And, you know, I think Will said it yesterday when you guys talked to him. I mean, ultimately he said it goes back to him. And so I do think people have a right to be frustrated. We're not competitive, and if we want to win, we got to be competitive. And so that starts in practice this week, guys, getting each other right and taking the bye week to get stuff right and a new perspective going into game week against the Cajuns.
All right, Luke Johnson, thank you. Hey, real quick, I guess you did see that Commander Bengals score last night, huh, Luke?
Man, Jaden Daniels looked good, and yeah, the Joey B didn't have an answer.
Yeah, Jaden.
Are you back on the bandwagon now?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm still with the Saints, bro.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels looked really good.
All right, Luke. Thanks, buddy.
See you guys.
Luke Johnson, everybody. Don't take it so hard.
Although he did, Jaden Daniels did play a terrific game. You can't take that away from him.
What was that score? What was
it? Too many to too few.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank our buddy Luke Johnson joining us in the first segment of the show. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net on Hardy Street, where you find all your Southern Miss apparel, where you find Miss Kathleen, where you find great Christmas gift ideas. I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's just around the corner.
All you have to do is go to the stores and see the displays already going up.
Yep, that's exactly right. Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. All right, so there has been one Sun Belt Conference football game. There may have been more than one, but not many. The teams get really ready to start conference play this weekend. So real quickly, let's see where everybody stands as conference play opens up. James Madison over in the East, 3-0 on the year. Coastal Carolina, 3-1. Georgia State, 2-1. Unfortunately, nobody's been there to see that. Georgia Southern, they got attendance problems. Georgia Southern 2-2, Marshall 1-2, Old Dominion 0-3, App State 2-2. In the West, South Alabama 2-2, Louisiana 2-1, Monroe a surprising 2-1, Texas State 2-1, Arkansas State 2-2, Southern Miss 1-3, Troy 1-3. Noah Frary's on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Noah is a freelance sports journalist, does a lot of play-by-play for various conferences, including the Sun Belt Conference USA, and just deeply involved in college athletics, knows a lot about the Sun Belt, and glad to have him back on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Noah, so there's how things have shaped out in the first month of the season. Let's start with what, in your view, has been so far the biggest pleasant surprise team in the Sun Belt?
Yeah, guys, I think it's been a fascinating year with Sun Belt football, and yet another year where we've all proven that we talk in the media about things preseason, and then they don't always happen. You know, I think for me, and again, I don't think it should be a surprise, but the play of James Madison early on this season has been impressive. Obviously, you know, the first couple games of the year, you know, I don't think we're quite up to their standard, but then they go down to Chapel Hill this past weekend and win 70-50 over what you could argue might not be UNC's best team, but Their ability, you know, under Bob Chesney to completely reload that roster and, you know, continue to perform at a high level has been impressive. I think, you know, some people might say that what South Alabama has done in the Sun Belt West has been a bit of a surprise early on this year. I was always personally high on that offense. The defense, I think, was always going to be a question just because of the youth of that unit. But that offense has been as good, if not better, than advertised. And what they did up in Boone to App State was incredible. You haven't seen the Mountaineers lose a game like that since 2014.
What is it about James Madison, Noah? I mean, you know, they haven't been playing Division I athletics all that long, but they just seem to be really good at every sport.
Yeah, guys, I think, you know, ultimately, for those of us around college athletics, you understand that money talks, and money, you know, creates different opportunities. And they have the highest budget in the Sun Belt Conference. They've been, you know, recruiting at this level for many years. They have the, you know, the facilities and the structure in place to be successful. So, you know, I think that they are ultimately a blueprint for any team coming up from the FCS, but I think there's a lot of FBS programs and even some, I think, in the Sun Belt that could, you know, take a book or a page out of James Madison's playbook in terms of how to be prepared and provide your student athletes with the best resources possible.
But staying in the East for just a minute, Coastal 3-1, they appear like they're going to be a competitive football team all year. And App State at 2-2, I'm maybe a little surprised at that.
Yeah, App State's been a big disappointment early on this year. They lose the tough game to Clemson where they just get demolished. I was actually at that game, and a lot of App State fans, you know, left at halftime or before halftime of that game. And then obviously you go home to Boone, and there's expectations up on the mountain. It's a sold out, you know, midweek game, and you know, they laid an egg in that game. And honestly, right now, App State, they've got what I think is a good offense. They didn't play that well against South Alabama, but you know, that defense is atrocious, and particularly in the secondary. It's just looked extremely bad this season. Opposing offenses are picking them apart, and unless some of those things get fixed, it might not be the season that many people had expected for App State. And that was probably the expectation, was to get to a college football playoff game, and those, you know, aspirations are already out the window.
What's frustrating for Southern Miss fans, although a little different, small different set of circumstances, is that you mentioned Bob Chesney at James Madison in his first year as the coach. First year, they're 3-0 and have run the table so far. So, Noah, Bob asked you about some surprises. I'm almost afraid to ask you. You mentioned that App was a little disappointing. What's been the biggest disappointment in the Sun Belt this year?
Are you going to put this on a tee for me and let me hit it out of the ballpark?
Well, I mean, it's only fair.
Throw him a softball,
if we, no, if I mean, if we ask you one side of the story, we got to ask you the other one, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is like a presidential debate in terms of softball questions. But, you know, I think Southern Miss has been a huge disappointment. And I hate to say it, because I love coming on this program, guys, and I love talking about, you know, Southern Miss athletics and them being competitive. But, you know, what we're seeing here in year four under Will Hall is a bad football team. You can't sugarcoat it at this point. I asked a question the other day on Twitter, and I don't think it's, you know, too far out of the realm of possibility. What FBS team on Southern Miss's schedule the rest of the year are they going to go in as a favorite? Maybe against a ULM team, but even ULM has looked better this year. And, you know, I think could be a tough task. Louisiana's good in the West. Texas State's good in the West. I think South Alabama, you know, could be a real surprise. Troy has obviously been a little bit of a disappointment. But the sad thing is right now is, you know, and I know that you guys know this, we continue to hear about these new quarterbacks that we bring in. We continue to hear about these recruiting classes, and it's just not matriculating into wins. And at the end of the day, we're an industry that is determined on wins and losses, whether you like it or not. And Southern Miss football just is not getting the job done. I know there's a lot of restless fans, and quite frankly, they deserve to be after, you know, what they have seen this program kind of devolve into over the last couple of seasons.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about preseason expectations, and in the East, it seemed like at the media days in New Orleans that App State was going to be crowned the champion and represent the East in the championship, and that Texas State was going to win the West. When the smoke clears, Noah, where we are now, who do you think at this point would represent the West and the East?
Yeah, I mean, I think Texas State has looked really good early on this season. I think it will be interesting to see once we get into, you know, the true Sun Belt gauntlet. Are they able to stay consistent? But certainly the early season results are good, so I think they're still in a good position. When you look at the East, obviously James Madison's won it the last 2 years. They're undefeated right now. They have to be considered in that conversation. I'm still a little bit wary to, you know, name Coastal Carolina in that position. There's been some good and some bad early on this year. Obviously, the record is good right now, so I think they will be competitive. And, you know, if we learned anything a year ago, I don't think you can count out the App State Mountaineers. I mean, they were all but dead and gone, you know, through 5-6 weeks last year before ending up in the championship game. So if they can figure some things out, I think that's a good could become a good football team as the year progresses. But there's a lot of intrigue right now, I think, across the board in the Sun Belt. And, you know, when you look at the league right now, it's tough not to say early on that I think it might be down a little bit this year. And I think G5 conferences are down kind of across the board, and you would expect that with the coaching turnover and the player turnover that we're seeing in this new era of college football.
I was just going to ask you that because Commissioner Keith Gill, at his annual State of the Conference address, if you will, always talks about the importance of the league being strong from top to bottom. And I agree with you. I think it might be, rather than up like he had hoped it would be, I think it might be down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair to say. I mean, even, you know, take a South Alabama team that, you know, can prove or has proven that they can score with the best of them in college football, and then they go up and lay an egg in Ohio. So, you know, I just think across the board right now, you haven't seen the early results that you were hoping for the conference this year. Obviously, there's still plenty of time to, you know, turn things around. You know, there probably is only, you know, one or two teams at this point. I think maybe a James Madison and a Texas State that are even in the conversation for the college football playoff. So, you know, you might get the same or similar number of bowl teams. Maybe you're 9 or 10 this year. But I don't think you're, you know, overly pleased with the early returns that you've seen in terms of football on the field.
So I was watching some of the game, obviously, Saturday, and I heard the announcer make the comment. He was talking about a kid that was transferred from another school, and he laughed, and he said, well, that's the norm now. No, nobody stays at a school for one, you know, more, throughout a career. That's probably not a good thing, is it, Noah?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, ultimately college athletics are attached to something called higher education, and kids, they used to go to college to become better individuals, to become better athletes, and ultimately, you know, wiser and smarter in hopes that, you know, when their football playing career or other sports playing career came to an end, that they would be a good citizen. And I think what you're seeing right now is a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids that have been given freedom, and I'm not going to sit here and say that freedom is not a good thing. But I think wrong decisions are being made for some individuals, and certainly that has you know, really changed the landscape, and I question if we're preparing these young men and women as best as we can for the future.
We're talking to Noah Frary, sports commentator, sports writer, sports play-by-play man.
And there has been some movement as far as conference realignment goes. Right. As we speak, there are schools making decisions. Noah will sort all that for us. Sort that out for us, including what the Tulane Green Wave are thinking right down Interstate 59. That and more as the Eagle Hour continues after these commercial messages.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, this segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grills right there in the shadow of the rock. You know that. Great place to catch all your Southern Miss athletics. Great place for lunch, dinner, and just meeting your friends and having a good time. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, tell Alexa or Siri to play. We're so grateful to you for that. It was brought to my attention just this morning that just Friday show alone, almost 900 downloads. So we really are grateful to everybody that tunes in to the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Yeah, but honestly, Bob, when you tell people at the top of the show Beyonce is going to be on a little bit later, that's
well,
a little
I
bit...
thought she was. I'm sorry.
It just so happens she wasn't. But
Noah Frere's with us on the show. He said he was coming, and he did, unlike Beyonce.
And, yeah, I'm just glad I don't have to follow up beyond
that. And we're grateful to Noah for his time. All right, Noah, once again, we start hearing about all this movement of conferences. We hear about these teams that allegedly turned down going to the Pac-12 and movement everywhere. Is there any talk in the future? If so, how long out would it be? Do you see any movement, expansion, or changes in the Sun Belt Conference?
You know, I haven't really caught wind of that, in talking with people around the league. I think the league seems, very content with the current setup of 14 teams. Now, I think if anything has been proven in this era of college football, that if you're not looking for, opportunities, then, you can get left behind. I think that's what's happening with the Mountain West right now. They were not, smart enough. So, I think the Sun Belt always has to be careful. I mean, even you've heard Texas State rumored, with the Pac-12, the Mountain West Conference, and I don't think those rumors are complete. I also don't necessarily see Texas State jumping just yet. So, I think it might be wise for the Sun Belt to eventually look into some things, because I think the American Conference seems to be extremely aggressive, and, could they try to take a team from the Sun Belt? It's just fascinating what's going on in college athletics.
Well, at one school we continue to hear, and I don't know if there's any truth to it or not, but that Tulane is interested in movement. Do you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they're interested. They were obviously, in some deep discussions with the Pac-12 as the Pac-12 looked to kind of form an Eastern wing with, the likes of UTSA and South Florida, Tulane and Memphis. But it seems like at this point that's not going to happen. I think in the grand scheme of things, I think Tulane would love to end up in the ACC if things were to implode with a Clemson and Florida State. I think that could make a ton of sense. But, I clearly think Tulane has ideas of moving up in terms of the pecking order in college football, college athletics. But right now it seems like they're content to stay in the American Conference.
I'll throw this out to both of you guys. I watched Tulane and Louisiana play Saturday. And, Tulane loses their coach, and you think, well, that'll be a big setback. They lost that really good quarterback. That'll be a big setback. But Noah, Tulane continues to really put a good product on the field. They have really improved that football program in recent years.
Guys, you're a bunch of Southern Miss fans. You should know not to doubt John Summerall. He comes in and turns them into a two-time champion at Troy, and then goes down and takes that job. And that staff did an incredible job recruiting this offseason. And, the young quarterback that they've got on that roster. Tulane has money, and they're able to use that in this new era of college athletics. And I think that in a conference like the American, they're always going to be a force to be reckoned with.
When you talk about potential expansion in the Sun Belt, one school name that continually comes up in conversation is Louisiana Tech. And then people say, well, but Louisiana Tech, there was a rift between Louisiana Tech when they left the Sun Belt before. But time is the greatest healer of all wounds. Noah, could you see a future that Louisiana Tech would be welcomed with open arms back in the Sun Belt?
I mean, I think it could make sense in the future. I do think that there are still some hurt feelings there. I know if you're on Twitter, the Louisiana fans love to go at the Louisiana Tech fans. It's pretty enjoyable to watch. But I think there are several teams in Conference USA that could make a lot of sense, for the Sun Belt in the future, and a lot of them are former league members, the MTSUs of the world, the Western Kentuckys of the world, the Louisiana Techs. I think there are some schools there that make some sense for the Sun Belt if they have a desire to continue to grow, because I think the one thing that you have consistently heard from Sun Belt leadership is this is not going to be a league that's going to try to grab teams that are not out or that are outside of the footprint of the current conference. And I think that's good for college football. Everyone loves regional conferences. That's something the Sun Belt has leaned into, and I don't anticipate that changing. And some of those schools that I just listed, would definitely make sense given that stated goal.
You mentioned Conference USA, and this is not a slap deliberately at Southern Miss's ex-conference, but power ratings in football came out, and the Missouri Valley Conference, Missouri Valley, has been ranked as a stronger football conference than Conference USA. That's problematic.
Yeah, I don't think Conference USA in terms of football has been great this year. I mean, Jacksonville State obviously looked like a Super Bowl contender this past week. But outside of that, you know, Liberty has looked okay. Yes, they're undefeated. Yes, they're going to play, you know, a pretty bad schedule this year. Western Kentucky, I think, is going to be good in that league. But, you know, the bottom end outside of, you know, I think a Sam Houston is a real surprise so far this season. But there's just not a lot of, you know, talented football teams, and that definitely hurts the overall strength of schedule. So, you know, I think you feel for a team like Liberty, who probably is going to go undefeated again, and is that even enough to get them into the college football playoff? I think that's the question on everybody's mind.
Yeah, no question. No question about that. What do you see as the as basketball season gets there? Excuse me, as basketball season gets here, what do you see out of the Sun Belt? Who are the teams to look for? I know you do a lot of basketball play-by-play.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating year. I mean, it's so tough to tell. I've had a chance to talk to a bunch of basketball coaches already this offseason, and you know, just with the roster turnover alone on most of these teams, it just makes it, you know, so hard to predict. But you know, as we, you know, spent the first segment talking, I mean, you have to look at the usual suspects, you know, that have been good in the past. I think of, you know, on the men's side, the James Madisons of the world, the Louisianas, have each been to the NCAA tournament in recent years. I think they'll be in the conversation again this year. You know, I think on the women's side, I'm really excited to see what ULM's bringing back, which is crazy to think of how far we are removed from them not having a great women's basketball program. And then, you know, James Madison in the East, I think, could be really strong again. But I think the conference will be wide open this year. I'm not sure there's a path to multiple bids on either side this year, but anything could happen, and it will be an intriguing Sun Belt basketball season that gets kicked off in about a month.
Has any sport been hit harder with transfers and NIL and all the changes in college athletics than basketball, Noah?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, people will obviously talk about football, but, you know, with the size of college basketball rosters of about 15 players and the true impact of a singular star on some of those teams, when those players leave, it can really transform rosters. And then on top of it, when you have 6, 7, 8 players leaving in an off season, you know, I was talking to a coach the other day, and he said, you know, the saddest thing is you really don't have programs anymore. You just have teams and individual years. So, you know, a lot has changed in college basketball, especially at the, you know, mid-major level, has really been affected by the transfer portal.
No, I wanted to go back to mention a team that Southern Miss will play at home this year, but a scheduling credit to Arkansas State and Georgia Southern. Those two teams, man, they have taken it on the chin a couple times, but man, they're not afraid to play some of the big boys, and I mean play them back to back almost.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately fun. And you know, if you listen to Commissioner Keith Gill in a lot of these sports, particularly basketball, that's the formula to this becoming a multi-bid league. Because if one of those teams goes in and wins some of those games or plays competitively, that ultimately helps the overall RPI of the conference, the non-conference strength of schedule. So, you know, you've heard the old, you know, statement that a rising tide ultimately lifts all boats. And I think by playing those types of teams as compared to a D3 at home on a Tuesday night, you know, I think that ultimately is great for the conference in terms of RPI, but also continued exposure.
But in football, like Arkansas State played back to back, they played Ohio State at in Columbus, and then Michigan rather, and then went to Ames and played Iowa State. Both of those teams, you know, are in the top 20 now. Georgia Southern has played Boise State. They've had a bunch of really strong opponents. So I guess they're kind of making that formula in football too, and I guess it's a recruiting tool still, is look at who we're going to be playing, right? You get to play, and you'll get to be playing against these teams at these cities.
Well, and again, it's a budget thing as well. I mean, they're getting paid, you know, $1 million+ to play some of those games, and you know, obviously money matters in this new world of college athletics in terms of facilities and recruiting and NIL and just operating budgets. So those games serve a purpose, and you want to be competitive in them, but ultimately everybody knows that it's really the check at the end that matters to these athletic departments.
All right, Noah, great conversation, man. Always having fun having you on the Eagle Hour, and we'll hope to get you back on real soon.
Yeah, I'll make sure to send you guys my address. You can send me a Christmas present. So thanks so much for having me on, and look forward to the next time.
All right, Noah Frary, everybody.
And Bob, I'm not sure if it's just the shrimp salad I had for lunch or if it's just James Madison might be giving me gas, because just about every time
you say something about who's going to be good, the first name is James Damn Madison.
That's it. You're right. Doesn't matter the sport either, yeah. Does it?
Some distressing and sad news about a former Southern Miss great was breaking today. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of our program. You probably know that if you listen every day. DBAT on Hardy Street, great place for softball, baseball training. Luke Reynolds is the manager. It's a great, great pro shop, so it'd be a good time to start some early holiday shopping at DBAT on Hardy Street. Want to thank our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. That is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are beautiful, as is their new showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And my friend Kevin Mullins would be very happy. He's a Redskin man. Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly. I forgot about that.
No, I'm sure all of the Commanders drive Genesis because they drove right down the field every time last night.
In case you didn't know, the Commanders, the lowly Commanders, beat Kelly, Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yeah. We don't play very well at home. I don't know why. But again, everybody's playing for second place anyway, because as we have documented on this show,
the
NFL is going to see to it that Kansas City gets
so
to the
sour.
You know,
I agree.
It's ridiculous how they're so biased toward the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a little question about that.
So everybody's playing for second.
Hell, it makes me want to go get a beignet at Mo Bay Beignet. Kelly, 2902 Hardy Street.
Makes me want to take that powdered sugar and just dump it in my hair.
Which you did the last time, one of the last times we were at Mobile. All right, let's get to it, Kelly. News and notes.
Yeah, a couple of things to talk about. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily good. Women's soccer opened the Sun Belt Conference with a 7-2 loss. Guess who they played, Bob?
South Alabama.
No?
No, who?
James Damn Madison.
Oh, James Damn Madison. Okay. Well, no wonder they lost.
Yeah, seven to two.
They didn't even need to go play.
7-2. Seven, that's a lot of goals.
In soccer, that's what up in the Delta we called a good old country boy angst whipping.
Yes, okay. Yeah. They opened up a 55-gallon drum. And
whooped that.
That's right. Yeah, okay. So, unfortunately, the Lady Eagles dropped to 1-5 overall, 0-1 in conference play. Next, they will travel
South Alabama.
There you go. There you go.
They will be 0-6 on the season.
Well, we hope not. We hope not. But they are travel. They will travel to South Al on Thursday night to continue conference play. Volleyball, they will head to Monroe on Friday to begin conference play. They will play at 6 o'clock on Friday, and then again Saturday afternoon at 2. They're coming off a sweep. Mississippi State swept them last weekend, so they are headed to Monroe. First conference series game against the Warhawks again Friday at 6, Saturday at 2. And unfortunately, some news breaking this morning that Hall of Fame quarterback and Southern Miss guy, our buddy Brett Favre, has revealed that he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Yeah. And that's certainly not good news. And we all wish Brett well.
Of course we do. You know, when I heard that news today, my daughter actually called me and told me that. he sits next to us in baseball. Mm-hmm. So we see him fairly often during the baseball season. And it's just a reminder, Kelly, of why you need to enjoy every day. There is no better physical specimen of a man than Brett Favre.
Man, he bicycles, he swims, he runs. He's in his greatest shape today.
As he was in the league.
And
disease plays no favorites. And we certainly wish Brett and his family the best.
Yeah,
no
question.
He's a great Southern Miss Golden Eagle. And, you know, you can only hope that this is as good as it can be.
And, you know, different media outlets, and I think, unfortunately, one of the things about media that I wish media would be better about is accentuating the positive things in people's lives, but the media, the old song that Don Henley put out years ago, Dirty Laundry, you know, kick them while they're up, kick them while they're down. And they tend to do that. But the numerous things that I know of personally that Brett Favre and Deanna Favre and their family have done to make individual people's lives so much better and so much more enjoyable that they have wanted no credit for,
right.
They don't want any publicity about, but yet have done that. That certainly at least needs to be mentioned.
Another example of that, God, I can't believe his name slips my mind. The great quarterback from Alcorn, played for the Titans.
Steve McNair.
Steve McNair. You know, what you hear about Steve McNair, there's yet another documentary out about it, is how he died. I had a conversation one day with his personal financial guy, and he told me the incredible things that Steve McNair did for so many families. And I hear Brett Favre's done the same thing in the background, but all you hear is the negative.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's what's really unfortunate about celebrity. People talk about how much they are paid, and obviously they do make a lot of money, but I would dare say that they would give up, if you would ask them, or if you would only make half that much but have all the privacy you wanted, would that be worth it to you? And I think, Bob, probably half of them would say, yeah. I would gladly give up some of this money if I could have, you know, if I could have a little bit of privacy.
I observed that during baseball, that Favre's kind of a private guy. He stays in his suite. He'll come out and speak to people if he runs into them, but he's not out. He's not out front where everybody will see him and, you know,
Right. Ooh,
there's Brett Favre.
Right.
He's more of a private guy.
And luckily he's been out of the league long enough now to where he's got a little bit of anonymity.
Yeah.
You know, gosh,
he sure looks like he could still play, brother.
I sure hope that we don't ever get to a point, though, to where kids will not know who Brett Favre is when his name comes up in conversation.
Correct. All right. I want to thank our guests today. I want to thank all of you for listening. We've gotten so much feedback in the last week or so. We're very, very grateful to you for that. We'll be back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.